So today I want to talk about wisdom. Now, who here wants to be thought of as dumb? Anyone? Dumb? I knew I'd get somebody. Otherwise, I'm the only person raising my hand. Okay. Well, of course not. Nobody wants to be thought of as dumb. We all want to be thought of as wise, as smart in our own way. We may not all be Harvard professors, but we all think we're smart, at least in our own way, whether it's in our job, something that we know, we got it together in at least some area. And so, but I want to talk about what is our true source of wisdom? What's the basis by which we think that we're smart? Now, if I were to ask here, what's the source of wisdom? I think pretty much everyone would say God and the Bible is a source of wisdom. So that's easy. Let's pray and go home, right? Well, the reason I think that it's so important to talk about this is I wonder sometimes if we really believe that. If we really believe that the Bible is ultimately our source of wisdom. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. And I want you to think about what standard of wisdom do we use in our day-to-day lives, the decisions we make every day in solving our problems. What source of wisdom do we turn to? What do we spend the most of our time doing? What kind of wisdom do we spend our time pursuing? God's wisdom or the wisdom of this world? And we'll talk about that. So just think through a couple of examples with me. For example, in our families. There's all sorts of problems we encounter in our families, whether it's in our marriages or with our children, raising our children, all sorts of things that happen and cause us difficulties. And if you go to any Christian bookstore, the shelves are filled with books about how to solve all these problems. Now, are those books, do those have wisdom? Are those a good source of wisdom? How do we determine that? If we think about wisdom in our job, you know, God in the Bible, that's fine for Sunday, and especially Sunday school, where the right answer always is God, Jesus, or the Bible. But what about at work? Nobody there cares about that. Nobody there cares that Jesus died for their sins or cares that I'm a Christian. And reading a little bit of Jeremiah doesn't help much at the business meeting. So how do we find wisdom or apply wisdom at our job? And just think about other things, like our entertainment. What do we consider worth entertaining ourselves with? Does the issue of wisdom even apply in that area? And just in general, what kind of things do we spend our time pursuing? What kind of wisdom are we pursuing? Because the things we spend the most of our time doing are the things we think are important, hence the things that we think are wise. Nobody spends time doing things that they think are foolish. We spend the time doing things that we think are important or are wise. Now, just to be clear about a couple of things, I'm not talking about, you know, things we spend our time doing. I'm not talking about, for example, going to work. We have to do that. We spend a lot of time doing that. And I'm not talking about that as being something foolish, that we shouldn't be doing that. But I'm talking about the things more that we purposely spend our time doing. And when I talk through some of these things, and I just pointed out some particular examples to think about, these are not accusations. These are not an attempt to point out sin in your life or something like that. These are more challenges to think about what our source of wisdom and our basis for wisdom is. And these are challenges to everyone, to me included, to think about that. So let's look at this. If we're going to understand wisdom, well, we first need to understand what God says about wisdom. So Genesis 1:1, I'm just going to start with that. I think you may all know that. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now, that's a pretty profound statement if you think about that. The one who created everything probably knows something about it. He knows something about the creation, including us, whom he created, our nature, our problems, everything. God knows something about us. Now, look over at Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." So not only did God create all things, but he holds everything together. So again, he knows something about this world and about us, and about our problems, about our interactions. So that's, by understanding that, we understand that God really is the source of all wisdom. He created it all. Now look over at, just in Colossians, we'll just go over to chapter 2, in verse 3. So just understanding more fully that God is the source of all wisdom. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 says here, talking about God, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So God is the source of all wisdom. Now look back over at Psalm 147. Psalm chapter 147. Psalm 147, verse 5. Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord and great of power. His understanding is infinite. Now, infinite is pretty big. So God created everything. He holds everything together. He knows everything about this world, about us, about everything. He's the source of all wisdom. Now look over at Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. Proverbs 2, 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. So this makes it even plainer that it's from God. He gives the wisdom, so it comes from him. So then that begs the question, so if all wisdom comes from God, can you have wisdom apart from God? So we're in Proverbs. Just flip back a page to chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I'll just flip over a couple pages to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. There are several other references that say basically the same thing. I was amazed as I looked at this how many references there were to that. That to have wisdom, you've got to start with God. Now, does that mean that an atheist doesn't know anything, or they can't accept anything like, for example, an atheist says? Well, no. To the extent that what they know or what they're saying complies or is in line with what God says, they have wisdom, at least in a limited sense, even though they may reject God himself. However, as we'll see in a second, God characterizes that kind of person as foolish. So we certainly wouldn't expect them to be a significant source of wisdom. So let's look at another reference. Turn back to Psalm 14. So to better understand, if you're looking up a word and trying to understand its meaning, you look at the meaning, at the definition, but then it's helpful to look at what the opposite of that is to better understand what it isn't. So what does God say is foolishness? We saw what God says is wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. It starts with God. But what does God say is foolishness? So look at Psalm 14, verse 1. Says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. So not believing in God, in his word, is wisdom. And just to be clear about what I'm saying here, I said that wisdom comes from God. And the way we know about God is how? By God's word. That's the way we know about God and the way he's revealed his wisdom to us. And so when I'm talking about God, I'm talking also about God's word. The two are the same. The two are the same. That the Bible makes that clear, but especially in this context. So foolishness is not believing in God and his word. As that says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now look over at Colossians chapter 2. we were there a minute ago, I guess we could have kept that. But Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. So not believing in God, in His Word, is God calls foolishness, but also anything that's not based on God's Word is also foolishness. So Colossians 2, verse 8, Paul says to the Colossians, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." And in that same chapter, just look back up at verses 3 and 4, just again to compare. We read verse 3, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." So Paul's saying that all wisdom comes from God. Don't get deceived and pulled away from that. So anything that's not based on God or His Word, God calls foolishness. Now, taking this a step further, let's look over at Galatians chapter 1. So, it seems pretty plain that if you don't believe in God and you reject what God says, you're probably going to behave pretty foolishly. But there's a lot of teaching out there that is actually based on the Bible, but we would still call foolishness. But let's understand that a little better. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Galatians 3, 1. In the whole book of Galatians, and we studied this in our Sunday school over the past several weeks, Paul is correcting the Galatians because they had believed Paul when he first talked to them and preached to them, but then they'd gotten deceived by people who came along and were teaching something different. These were the Judaizers. They were teaching them they had to obey the law and so on. So they were coming along and they were teaching godly things. They were teaching things that were indeed based on God's Word, but they weren't right. So he says here in Galatians 3:1, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" So in that reference, Paul's making it clear, he was considering that foolishness, that they were pulled away from the truth that they had been taught initially by the Apostle Paul. They were being pulled away from that to false teaching. Now, again, I want to emphasize that false teaching was, in fact, in part based on God's Word, but it was false. So we have to be cautious and be aware of that. Now, look over at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. First Timothy 6:3, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing." So in other words, foolish, "but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself." So that term, destitute of truth, it's just another way of saying foolishness. Because if you don't have the truth, you have foolishness. So Paul is saying there will be people that come along trying to deceive from the truth. They might be teaching things about the Bible, but they're teaching false doctrine. And he calls that foolishness. So we understand that here in this church. We talk a lot about right division, and that's why it's so critical, because just simply teaching from the Bible, you can still have false teaching if you don't understand it rightly divided. And we quote a verse very commonly, 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's why that's so critical. What else does God say is foolishness? Well, anything that does not honor God. Look over at Romans chapter 1. Now, this takes this understanding of foolishness a step further. So it's clear that if you reject God, okay, that's foolishness. If you have false teaching about God, That's foolishness, even if it is in some part based on the Bible. But anything that doesn't honor God is foolishness. So that's a little more significant and I think a little broader, more encompassing. So Romans chapter 1, verse 21, so this is talking about the Gentiles in the beginning and how they degraded into sin. But look at how it starts here. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And when you read the rest of that passage, it talks about all the awful things that the Gentiles started doing and became just terrible and corrupt. But it started with not honoring God, and it says they became foolish. And as a result of that, things went downhill from there. So when we talk about things not honoring God, well, for sure, that can mean things like big sins, like murder or stealing or adultery or those kinds of things. That can be sin. And that is sin, but that can be things that don't honor God. But also, we don't even have to be talking about that. Anything that doesn't honor God, when we start honoring ourselves instead, that is not honoring to God. So, you know, as I was thinking about this, you know, and preparing this message, I mean, I can think in my own life, there are many things that have not honored God in the things I do. Even though maybe I have a right understanding of God's Word, I can still many things in my life not be honoring to God. And God says those things are foolishness. So I don't want to be spending a lot of time doing those kinds of things. Now, what else does God say is foolishness? So we said that not believing in God's Word, that's foolishness. False teaching about God's Word, that's foolishness. Anything that doesn't honor God, that's foolishness. God also talks about the wisdom of this world, and that's kind of an interesting term, a bit of an oxymoron, as we'll see. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 19. And here the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, 19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Look over in that same book to chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3. Look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians 3:19, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." So these passages, I think, are really a bit sarcastic, because it's calling the wisdom of this world, but in reality, that wisdom is foolishness. Now, think just a little bit further about this issue of the wisdom of this world. Who is the god of this world? Satan. Satan is the god of this world. And what does God say about Satan's wisdom? He says it's corrupt. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So corrupt means it's no good. It stinks. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says here, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind shall be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now, I just want to make one other point about this too. Notice that we normally think of being wise, being sophisticated, as being complex. But here it says, the simplicity that is in Christ. That's the wisdom that's in Christ. It's simple, actually. The sophistication is what's corrupt in this case. So that's just an interesting comparison. So he says that wisdom is corrupt. That's that reference as the serpent beguiled Eve. Who was the serpent? That was Satan. So as Satan beguiled Eve and corrupted the wisdom. Now, let's just look over, just to understand this fully, at Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 28, just so we can understand what God said about Satan. Ezekiel chapter 28 comes after Jeremiah and before Daniel. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17. Now this passage here in Ezekiel 28, God's talking about Satan. When he was first created, he was created as a marvelous being, and you can see all the details about that. But then it says in verse 17, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty." So he's talking about Satan. "Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee." So God says that his wisdom was corrupted. So he became foolish, basically, because he did not give honor to God. And that goes back to that previous point. Anything that does not honor God is foolishness. God calls that foolishness. So another way of understanding this concept is, if it's not from God, it's basically from Satan, because he's the God of this world and the author of the wisdom of this world. And we know the wisdom of this world is really foolishness. So understanding all that then leads us really to the next question. How do we get wise? So we understand what wisdom is. We understand what foolishness is and what we shouldn't be doing. So how do we get wisdom? How do we get wise? Well, look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we read part of this for the scripture reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now this verse is a remarkable one. It's verse 16, so 1 Corinthians 2:16. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So we have the wisdom. We have it already. That is amazing. So look over at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2:10. And this verse here is really another way of saying the same thing, I think. Colossians 2:10, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." So we're complete in God. We already have all wisdom. Now that's just astounding when you think about that. The problem is we don't always apply that. I think that's where we get tripped up a little bit. But again, understand that. As unsaved, we were foolish. We had no wisdom. As unsaved, we got saved, we have a new identity in Christ, and we've given the mind of Christ, and now we have the wisdom that comes from God. So then what does that mean? Well, I think the obvious answer here is we have to know God's Word, because that's how we know God, and that's how we access that wisdom. So look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 97. Start at verse 97. Now, this passage, I think, is also a remarkable one because it's a very good summary of what wisdom really means in terms of how it applies in its consequences, basically. So, Psalm 119, verse 97. "Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgment, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." He says in there, he's wiser than his teachers, wiser than the ancients. Why? Because he kept God's word, and in the context here, he's talking about keeping God's word and meditating on God's word. That was his basis for saying that he was wiser than basically everybody else. Look over at Colossians now, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Now, there are many references like this that we could look at that talk about the aspect of knowing God's Word. This is one of them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the Word of Christ, that's the Word of God, the Bible, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And we quoted 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And 2 Timothy 3:16 is another great reference. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So these references talk about knowing God's word, and that's how we're going to be able to apply it in our lives and have wisdom. Now, knowing God's word is one thing. Believing God's word, I think, is something slightly different. And that believing, you know, I think as Christians, yes, we do believe God's word, but we have difficulty sometimes quite believing that it applies in every area of our life. And I know I struggle with this. So it's one thing to believe it, and it's another thing to believe it fully, I think. So we have to understand and believe that God's word is the answer to everything. It really is. Now, the next point I made is, I said first that we have to know God's word. That's how we get wisdom. We have to know God's word. We have to believe it, of course, because you can know it. The devil knows God's word, but he's foolish because he doesn't believe it. He can quote God's word, in fact, but he's foolish because he doesn't believe it. So we have to believe God's word. But then the next point I made is we have to act on God's word. And I made that a separate point just to emphasize, I think that's the difference between believing and knowing it. It's one thing to know it. When we believe something, we act on it. Now, for example, if you were to tell me that, okay, this chair, it's well-built, it's strong, you can sit on it, I'd say, okay, yeah, I believe that. Okay, well, have a seat. Oh, no, it's okay, I believe it. No, you know, please do, have a seat. No, it's okay, I believe it's strong, but that's okay. After a while, you'd say, well, come on, sit on the seat if you believe it. You know, you'd start to wonder, do I really believe that it's strong enough to hold me if I'm not willing to sit on it? Well, I think that's a little bit the idea here of acting on our belief of God's word. Look over at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. Deuteronomy 4, verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me. So he's talking about the Word of God. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Look over at Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 19. Romans chapter 16, verse 19. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Wise unto that which is good? That's the word of God. Knowing about evil, knowing about the world's ways, that's foolishness. We don't want to spend our time knowing those kinds of things. That doesn't help us a bit. Look over at Galatians now, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And to understand this verse, remember that God, and the reference here is of the Spirit, but the Spirit is God. So God and His Word is wisdom. The flesh that it references in this verse is the old man, the sinful nature. That's what God calls foolishness. So look at this verse, Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And you could say, walk in wisdom, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Or you could also think of that, you will not be foolish, as another way of understanding that. So we should be walking in the Spirit, we should be knowing God's Word and walking in God's Word. So understanding these things, knowing God's Word, believing it, and acting on it, that should be our basis for wisdom. Now, am I saying, I can just see somebody, some 16-year-old saying, Brother Paul said I don't have to go to school anymore, I can just stay home and read the Bible. Well, no, so that means that we shouldn't go to school, shouldn't go to college, we shouldn't do well in our jobs, we shouldn't learn other things, that we can't read other books, that we can't take anything that a non-Christian tells us. Well, no, that's not what I'm saying here. But what I'm saying is, all those things must be understood and discerned by God's Word, and that's what we should be spending our time knowing and doing and acting on, not on the foolishness of this world. So a final thought that I want to share. When I began, I talked about some of the areas where we think about wisdom in our lives, in our families, in our jobs, as well as other things. For example, like entertainment. And I said, well, does the issue of wisdom even apply to our entertainment? So if we think about this, you know, what are the kinds of things that we consider worth entertaining ourselves with? Now, I'm not talking here really about what movies are okay to watch or what ratings are okay, but what is it that we entertain ourselves with? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. And being drunk with wine would, you know, in some ways be a form of entertainment. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Being filled with the Spirit, being filled with God's Word is the meaning there. So it says that's what we should be spending our time doing. Look over at Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians 4:8. It says here, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So that's a wonderful list of things there, of things that we should be spending our time thinking about, meditating on. That's what we should be spending our time doing. When you start thinking about it, there's a whole lot of things that don't really line up with that, and I can certainly think of a whole lot of things in my own life that don't really line up with those kinds of things. We spend all sorts of time thinking about all sorts of things that are foolish when you really line it up with these kinds of things. And as you go through that list, the thing that kind of matches all those things, true, honest, just, pure, and so on, is God's Word. So, again, I don't want to be spending my time doing things that God says are foolish. It's a waste of time at best, and certainly does not edify me or make me wise. So just in closing, just to kind of reemphasize what I was saying here, so wisdom, God is the source of all wisdom. God and His Word is the source of all wisdom. We need to know it, believe it, and act on it. And ultimately, so we should be able to say that the basis by which we think we're wise, that we think we know our stuff, that we got it all together, that people would look to us for answers, the basis for that is because we know and believe God's Word. That should be our basis for our wisdom.